Turn your Bibles. We are going to be in the book of Proverbs. As you're turning to Proverbs chapter 16, a teacher asked the children in her Sunday school, "If I sold my house and my car, had a big garage sale, and I gave all the money to the church, would I go to heaven?" "No," the children all answered. She said, "Well, if I cleaned the church every day, mowed the yard, and kept everything neat and tidy, would I then go to heaven?" Again, they all answered, "No." "Well," she continued, "then how can I get into heaven?" In the back of the room, 4-year-old Bobby shouted, "You gotta be dead." Good old Bobby. Amen. Last week, we started to look at one of the most devastating, one of the most destructive sins affecting us today, and that is pride. Pride is something that we all struggle with. And if you're here today and you say, "No, I'm good, I don't struggle with pride," you just admitted you do. Amen? We all struggle with it. Pride has torn apart more marriages. Pride has torn apart more homes and more churches than any other sin. Pride. Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Pride goes before destruction. We started looking at some warnings of pride, and the first thing we considered is that pride defies God. Pride is arrogance against God. It's a sense of not needing God. It's kind of saying that, "You know what, God, I'm good on my own. I can do it without you." Pride also, that's our relationship with God, but in our relationship with each other, pride is what whispers in our ear that says, "Well, you know what, I'm a little better than you," doesn't it? That's what pride does. Now, on the flip side, sometimes we get confused with what pride is not. Thinking lowly of yourself is not humility either, right? We try to do the opposite of pride. We try to be humble. But thinking lowly of ourself is not humility. We are not to have a negative viewpoint of ourselves. We're not to walk around, "Woe is me, and I'm horrible, and I'm no good." That is a wrong viewpoint. That is an unhealthy viewpoint, and that is not humility. As a child of God, we need to know whose we are. Amen? We are Jesus Christ. We are His. We are bought with a price. And we need to understand that. Not in an arrogant way, but in an eternally secure way. Amen? We need to know that we are Christ. Not arrogantly, but in an eternally secure way. Now, we looked at the pride checklist. Let's review that again. It's been a week, right? Let's see how we did in a week. Do you get agitated when corrected for making a mistake? Do you like to receive praise for things that you have no control over, like beauty or God-given talent? When someone wrongs you, do you quickly adopt the attitude and say, "Well, I can get along fine without them anyhow"? Do you find yourself complaining a lot? Now, I didn't really talk about that one last week in depth, but what does that mean? When I complain a lot, what is at the heart of that? It's pride. If I complain a lot, then I'm having a much higher view of myself than I should. I'm saying that, "You know what, I'm so good, I don't deserve what's happening to me." That's where a complaint comes around, doesn't it? "It's too hot out there for me." We complain about the weather all the time, don't we? Brother said this morning, "You know what, in a couple months we'll be complaining that it's too cold again." That's just what we do. But honestly, the root of that is pride. You know, we act like we're too good to go through things. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ went through more than we ever will endure. And He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's God in the flesh. So that's what I'm talking about when we complain a lot. That's a sense of ungratefulness, and it stems from pride. Lastly, do you find that you have to win every argument? So how'd you do? Don't answer. Don't raise your hands. I don't want to know. Hopefully you did a little better than you did last week. But bottom line is that pride defies who God is. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. God said, "These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren." What's the first thing that God lists that's an abomination to him that he literally, absolutely just hates? Pride. First thing on God's hit list is pride. Proverbs 16:5. He said, "Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord." Pride is direct defiance against who God is. It's direct defiance against Almighty God. Pride is what turned Lucifer into the devil. Pride filled his heart, and he blatantly defied God. That's what pride does. Pride is also what corrupted the human race. You know, we considered what Satan did when he tempted Eve. Satan did not tempt Eve simply to eat a piece of fruit. He tempted her to be like God. In Genesis 3, in verse 4, it said, "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God.'" That was Satan's temptation, not to eat a piece of fruit, but to be like God. He tempted her with pride. All the violence, all the suffering, all the innocent blood that has ever been shed and that is shed today is a direct result of pride. Amen? That's how devastating pride is. When you have pride in your heart, we need to understand that we then become an adversary against God. 1 Peter 5 says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility." Why? Because God resists the proud. God resists the proud. That word resist, it means to go against. So if we have pride in our heart, God resists us or he goes against us as an adversary. Amen? We need to understand that. God is against the proud because pride defies who he is. Pride says, "God, I don't need you. I'm fine without you." That's what defies who God is. Second warning we talked about, not only does it defy God, but it defiles us. It defiles all mankind. Proverbs 16:5. "Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord." Proverbs 21:4. "A haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin." All those things. Pride is rooted in our hearts. The root of pride comes right out of our very heart, and it defiles us. It defiles all mankind. Jesus said it best in Mark chapter 7. Listen to how he describes it. He says, "For from within, out of the heart, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness." All of these evil things come from within and they defile a man. Pride defiles us. It's rooted in our heart and it defiles us. Third thing it does is it divides us. Proverbs 13:10. "By pride comes nothing but strife." We need to understand that every argument, every contention that we've ever had, all strife comes from one source, and that's pride. Pride is the root of all arguments. Pride is what causes us to be out of fellowship with God, And when we're out of fellowship with God, we're not at peace. And if we're not at peace, then what do? We start to war with one another. Without peace, the opposite of peace is what? War. When there's no peace in our hearts, then there's war, and that comes from pride. Pride is the root of every single argument that we've ever had, whether it's in our home, whether it's at work, it doesn't matter, and it's the root of every division in the church. Every division in the church that has ever risen has come from pride. Proverbs 28:25. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife. Listen. Jesus has to be the only one on the throne of every relationship that you have. Amen? Jesus has to be on the throne in the relationship that you have with your wife or your husband. Jesus has to be on the throne in the relationship that you have with your friends. Jesus has to be on the throne in your relationships at work. It doesn't matter what the relationship is. Jesus has to be on the throne in order for pride in that relationship to be subdued. Plain and simple. When Jesus is rightfully on his throne, then pride is cut down at Calvary's cross. Pride is arrogance against God. It defies who he is. Pride is rooted in our hearts. It defiles who we are. And pride is the cause of all strife. It divides all mankind. Fourth warning about pride. Pride degrades true honor. Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. When pride comes, then comes shame. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Bottom line is that those who are full of pride, those who have allowed pride to seek in their heart, they are constantly seeking praise and glory for themselves. Amen? We've seen them before. We know those type of folks. Maybe you're struggling with it. There's nothing more shameful than someone who goes around and constantly seeks out praise for themselves. Amen? There's nothing more shameful that we can do than to go around and try to seek out praise for ourselves. There are those who walk around and they insist that they be called by their title or they're offended. Introduce them as Mr. Oh, no, I'm Dr. So-and-so. We know those folks, don't we? Amen? That's pride. They get offended if you don't call them their proper title. But listen, God is telling us that true honor goes only to those who walk in humility. That's where honor comes from. Proverbs 18:12. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, but again, before honor is humility. Pride seeks out honor and glory. But here's the irony. When you have pride, it loses the very thing that it seeks. It seeks out honor and glory, but when pride is present, the only thing that's left is contempt and shame. Amen? Pride loses the very thing that it seeks out. Pride is the disease that makes everyone sick except for the person who has it. Someone quoted that many, many years ago. Pride is the disease that makes everyone sick except for the person who has it. Jesus declared, and this is what he taught. Jesus said, the way up is down through humility, but the way down is lifting yourself up with pride. Amen? Jesus said, "He that humbles himself will be exalted, and he who exalts himself will be abased." When you exalt yourself, listen, God is going to humble you. Plain and simple. And you don't want God to have to humble you. God has a very distinct way of humbling us. Amen? Satan is a perfect example of this truth that Jesus taught. Satan was created the most glorious, the most extravagant of all creation. He was the most beautiful, the most powerful angel ever created. God named him Lucifer, the son of the morning. Yet the Bible tells us that he will be cast down to the lowest pit. Isaiah chapter 14. It says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. But how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. You shall be brought down to Sheol, to hell, to the lowest depths of the pits." We need to understand that pride degrades true honor. In God's kingdom, it's the last that shall be first. Amen? Jesus declared that in God's kingdom, the meek, the humble meek will be the ones that inherit the earth. Plain and simple. As a child of God, God tells us that we will be elevated even above the angels. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. God is the one who elevates us. Amen? The final warning about pride. Pride destroys the soul. Proverbs 15:25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Proverbs 18:2. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. Proverbs 18:12. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. Destruction. That is the end result of pride. Pride goes before destruction. Pride is a dark, destructive force that deceives and ultimately destroys the very soul. It rips apart lives. It rips apart marriages. It rips apart churches. And it even rips apart nations. We look around at our nation today. Our nation is ripped apart because pride has moved our nation farther and farther away from God. Today's attitude in our nation is that I don't need God. I'm doing fine on my own. God is something that was for my great-great-grandparents. It's not for me. I'm enlightened. I know better. I'm good on my own. And that arrogance and that pride is going to be the ruin of this nation. As we move farther and farther away from God, we move farther and farther away from His almighty protection. We also need to understand that this is not just something that's a problem outside the church. One of the great scriptures in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 7:14. God said, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." God said, if they will humble themselves, who is they? He defines it right there. He said, if my people will humble themselves. Who's he talking to? He's talking to you and me. He's talking to his people. In the Old Testament, it was Israel. Today, he's talking about his church. Every born-again believer. It starts here in the church. He's talking to you and me. Pride also rips apart our financial security. Too many people are in debt today. Why? Because pride tells them they have to keep up with the Joneses. Well, they have it, you need it. Pride whispers into your ear and tells you, you deserve it. You've been working hard and you've been going without and you deserve to be spoiled. That's pride. Let me tell you something. The more I get into God's Word, the more that God makes it very clear to be in debt is a sin. Amen? God says the borrower is slave to the lender. We've got to get away from that pride and get away from the fact that we have to have the very best. Listen, God is not against blessing us. God doesn't say we can't have nice things, but God says we don't go in debt for those things. If you can't pay for it in cash, save up money and pay for it when you can. Amen? God's saying you don't have to go without. God's saying you don't have to have it today. It's us, it's the flesh that says we need it and we needed it yesterday. Amen? Pride ruins us financially. Pride also rips apart our emotional well-being. Listen, depression and anxiety is rampant today. Amen? It's epidemic. I'm not saying all of it is caused, but many cases it's caused by pride. Pride tells and whispers in our ear that we need to worry about what that person thinks about us. And we worry so much about what other people think about us that it drives us nuts. We get anxious and we start to get depressed worrying about what other people think about us. Again, that's not every case, but it's a lot. And it comes from pride. Worrying about what others think about us. Listen, we only need to worry about what one person thinks about us, and that's God Himself. And you know what God thinks about you? He loves you unconditionally. You know what that means? That means there is nothing that you can do, there's no way that you can mess up that would make God love you less. He loves you regardless of what you do. He loves you unconditionally. And that's all we need to know. Amen? It's all we need to worry about. Pride will also tear us apart spiritually. It will tear up, it will rip apart our spiritual service. Listen, pride will absolutely call or make God, cause God to pass over you in service. Amen? Pride will absolutely cause God to pass over you to serve Him in some type of ministry. We need to understand that we absolutely can be too big to serve God in a ministry capacity. And when I say too big, I'm talking about our pride. Amen? We can be too full of pride for God to call on us to serve Him. But we can never be too small. Amen? Through humility. Pride will ultimately bring eternal ruin. Look at Luke 18. We'll close with this. Luke 18, verse 9. And Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. That's pride. Listen to what he said. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and he prayed this with himself. He said, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. But the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat on his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you this, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be abased or will be exalted. Bottom line, what Jesus was saying, he said two men went home from church that day. He said one went home dignified, full of pride, and the other went home justified in Jesus Christ. Amen? It's as simple as that. One man went home dignified, full of pride. The other went home justified in Jesus Christ. There's a lot that will be listening to this message, whether on the website or on the podcast, or maybe you're here today, that are listening and have the attitude to say, well, this message is definitely for someone else. Surely it couldn't be for me. I don't have an issue with pride. That's pride telling you that. Amen? That's the exact same attitude as that Pharisee that went to pray. But I love the way the language that God used there. He said he prayed to himself because he wasn't praying to God. Amen. It's pride. We can compare and measure ourselves up against each other all we want. And sinner to sinner, we may look pretty good. But we need to understand that other sinners are not the standard. Holy God is. And that's where we fall way, way short. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin is what separates us from Him. When Isaiah received a vision of God, his first expression was, "Woe is me." Peter, when he saw Jesus, he said, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." That's the right attitude that we need to have. Amen? The question is, as we bring this to a close, do you act more like the Pharisee or like Peter and Isaiah? That's between you and God to answer that. It's pride that makes it difficult for us to admit that we have a problem with pride.